Bring you greetings this morning in the name of our soon coming Lord. I want to extend a welcome to each one here this morning. I was only informed just a few minutes before I left the house this morning that there were going to be some of our Bangladesh brothers and sisters here that go to Bangladesh and are on the Bangladesh team. I'm a man that's not afraid to change the normal, but I decided I wouldn't put you on the spot. Would have been just fine to have a little pre-sermon topics on Bangladesh to hear how things are going there and souls that are being saved and the churches are being built and churches are being started and leaders are being taught. Keep it up. This morning we've heard a lot of truth. We've been taught a lot of things already. More than what we can probably remember and contain too long. But I trust it'll make a difference in our lives. We'll pick something out. And even through the rest of the service, you'll pick a nugget of truth up. What I want to talk about this morning is, do we really believe that Jesus is soon coming? Do you believe in the imminent return of Jesus? It's our decrees, eh? Did you wake up this morning and think of the reality that Jesus might come today? What would you do differently if you knew he would come today? He might either call you out of this life today, or he might come today. Jesus Christ is coming again for his church. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, I make this point very clear before I go on. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. There are a lot of books that have been written, and there's a lot of books that are being written about prophecy today. But Jesus makes it very crystal clear. There's been books of the past, 88 reasons why Jesus would come in 1988. I seen the book. I did it for curiosity of what they really have to say. But the Bible makes it equally clear that those who have the Holy Spirit, we sang the song about the Holy Spirit being our faithful guide, makes it very clear that is that those who believe in Jesus as their Savior and Lord can understand the nature and of the times that mark his return. Jesus rebuked his disciples one time when he said, you can discern the signs of the weather, but you can't even discern the signs of the time. Can we, as Mennonite people today, so to speak, as God's people today, discern the signs of the time? I believe that in the scriptures, God gives us many signs to watch for. The season of the Lord's return is now. We are coming to the end of an age. I believe very soon, we know not how soon, but we believe that the apostles preached this as well. But I believe that God's time clock may very well soon strike 12 o'clock. Does that bring fear to your heart? I trust not, but I trust that it brings joy to our heart to think that we'll soon be ushered home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Through the rapture of the church. How does God reveal in the Bible that shows us that now is the season of the Lord's return? There are lots of prophecies in the Bible. And like I mentioned, lots of books written on the prophecies. But we have, first of all, the signs in our society. What are these signs? Let's look at verses 37 to 41 in this same chapter. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew, not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And I will hasten to say this morning that nobody understands everything fully. But as we look at what Jesus is saying here, that the coming will be just like it was in the days of Noah. Immorality, violence were everywhere. There are shootings everywhere. There is violence everywhere. Whoever thought that we live in a country, the United States of America, to be steeped in the wickedness like it is today? I believe it has to be just like it was in the days of Noah. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Where are the homes today in our world today? So the home, so the nation, so the home, so the church. Haters of good, reckless, malicious gossips. Oh, may that not be a part of our life today. Truly, that is the condition of our society today as it was in the days of Noah. I have a lot of scriptures this morning. I'm not going to turn to all of them. I'll simply repeat the reference and you can look at it for yourself. But another category is the signs of technology. The advancement of technology. Daniel 12:4 said that there will be an explosion of knowledge and an increase in the rapidly transportation at the end of this age. Driverless cars, driverless trucks that are being experimented with. The lady that got run over in Arizona by a driverless car. Technology, medical advances that have become a reality in our day and time. Jesus foreshadowed nuclear weapons in Luke 21 in speaking of people fainting from fear due to the powers of the heavens being shaken, and how people will wish to hide underground to escape the devastation. Revelation 6:15. Just think about it for a moment with me, dear brothers and sisters. The advancement of technology, the advancement of technology in the 20th century. In the early 1900s, and how amazing it is that from the 20th century, people began on horseback and ended up in rockets going to the moon. You think about that? So short a time. Tremendous advancement in technology. Third sign, signs in the world politics. Yet another category that pertains to the world's politics. The Bible prophesies a very specific end time configuration of nations. And I know that I'm well aware that I'm speaking to a group of people this morning that don't believe or see prophecy the same way. But I ask you to listen. I ask you to take the nuggets of truth that are there that you can take home with you. My goal is this morning that, brothers and sisters, we have our priorities right and we are ready to meet God and ready to go home to be with Him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I want to show you some prophecies I believe that are happening all around us today. First of all, Israel is pictured as a nation once more, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, that is surrounded by hostile Arabs, neighbors, intent on its destruction. This, of course, has been the situation in the Middle East since the Israeli Declaration of Independence in May of 1948. Fulfillment of Scripture in Ezekiel 35. Verse 1 to 36, verse 7. Ezekiel 37, verse 21 and 22. Daniel prophesied that the Roman Empire would be received, would be revived This began with the formation of the European Union. Daniel chapter 2, read verses 36 to 41. The Bible prophesies a great power located in the remote parts of the north. Ezekiel 38, verse 1 to 39, verse 16. Read those scriptures sometime. I'm not here this morning to speculate. Yes, I have my own ideas about that. But brothers and sisters, this morning, may I emphasize again that if you are not ready to meet God, it's not going to matter. We don't all have it figured out. You will be somewhere separated from God for eternity. Spiritual signs. In the fourth place, more evidence that Jesus will soon return is that at the end of this age, spiritual signs will abound. Read the whole chapter of Matthew 24 sometime. Three times in this chapter, Jesus warns at the end of this age, we will see many false prophets arise. A tremendous deception across the church. Claiming to be Christ, with a resulting rise in cult followings. Misleading many people away from the true teachings of the Bible. Satanism in the forms of witchcraft. New Age and the occults were prophesied to become mainstream. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Those are things in our time where tremendous deception took place across the churches, across the Mennonite church, across churches of America today. The Spirit explicitly says that in these latter times, these things will come to pass. They have come to pass. My dear friend, this morning, many churches will become apostate, denying Jesus and ignoring his moral law. What has happened in the United States of America today? Paul writes about those who profess to be Christians in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to turn to that. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Then he says, but watch, and this is my warning to all of us today, but watch thou in all things endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. The time will come, and the time has come, when they no longer endure sound doctrine and will turn aside to myths, to those things that are untrue. What about the signs of nature that we see all about us today? Have we ever lived in such a time where there has been devastation in weather patterns? If you look at the charts, and I looked at that, and I don't have time to go into all of that this morning, in the intensity in disaster weather patterns, where has created a lot of disaster. Tornadoes, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. This old earth is trembling. Holes that open up in the earth and swallow up vehicles.
It's happening all around us. There was a couple weeks back, there was 27 tornadoes sweeping across Iowa. In various locations. Floods. All of these disasters have been prophesied to intensify. And you look at the charts of intensification of weather patterns. Tremendous increase. 2017 and into 2018 has been a tremendous spike up. Why is God allowing this? To grab people's attention. Not only people out there, but you and I today. To grab our attention. We have a message to deliver to those people who are struck with fear because of these things. And we better be doing it. Are we ready to do what God is asking us to do during these times? It says in Luke 21, verse 11, there'll be great earthquakes in various places. Famines. There'll be terrors and great signs from heaven. I'd like to look at some scripture now. There's some prophetic scriptures that relate to the nation of Israel. I first of all want to spend time looking at scriptures that have already been fulfilled. While we have different views of prophecy this morning, I ask you to take notice and to recognize scripture that has already been fulfilled in relation to the nation of Israel. Go with me, first of all, to look at Genesis chapter 12, to look at the promise that God made to Abraham. And in those first few verses, I want you to get about 4 points. Genesis chapter 12. God makes this promise to Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, Abram was 10 years older than I am right now, so maybe at 75, God's going to call us somewhere else. I don't know. But signs concerning Israel. Here's the promise that God made to Abraham, and I want you to notice 4 things in this promise. We have, in verse 1, the divine direction. He said, come out from among them. Come out. I want you to leave everything behind. This is divine direction from God. Secondly, in verse 2, we have divine determination. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You also have the third promise that God gave to Abraham here. Is the divine promotion. And then in verse 3, you have the divine program. Why do I bring that in here? Because I bring that in here because I want to help you to see and understand the reason that I take the view of prophecy that I do, that God never made a promise that he won't yet fulfill. So I believe that God will fulfill his promise with Israel. Israel is mentioned over 2,300 times in the Bible. It is said that they are a people who are the apple of his eye. Although throughout time, at the crucifixion, the Jewish people said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." Many times throughout past history, there have been nations, there have been people who tried to utterly destroy them. It has never yet happened. 1492, Spain drowned over 800,000 Jews. You have Adolf Hitler, who was another one who tried to destroy the Jews. Well, I believe that there will be yet much bloodshed, but I do believe that there will be a remnant in the end. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 11 as we look at fulfillment of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 11, looking at verses 11 and 12. Chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathias and from Cush and Elam and Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. Let's pick up verse 12 yet. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the fourth corner, from the four corners of the earth. The Jews. Let's look at some more scriptures yet before I make any more comment. Isaiah chapter 66. It's Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7 and 8. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. But thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster of one, saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. In May 14th, 1948, the nation of Israel was again reestablished as a nation. In fulfillment of these scriptures, and we can read it in the Bible, Zechariah 8, 4 and 8. Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3. In June of 1967 was the time when the Jews began to regather into Israel, prophesied in these scriptures. I know a businessman from Ephrata, Pennsylvania, who had a tailor shop in Ephrata, who said one day he wants to go back home. He don't know what it is, but he's pulling for back home. There have been many Jews since that time that have been regathered back into Israel. There are other prophecies concerning Israel that mark the end times when Jesus will return. And I believe that we're coming closer than ever before. As we think about the regathering of the nation of Israel, the Hebrew language will be revived. Zechariah 3:9. That was fulfilled in the 19th and 20th century. When they reestablished as a nation, they were very weak, and the Arab countries came out against them. Miraculous miracle of God took place when a small boy of 13, along with, was it his sister? I don't know. Were hiding in the weeds, made a homemade bomb out of a soda bottle or can, and stuck it in the first tank as it went past. Blew it up. They turned around and went back. God is still intervening. But here's some of the signs, and I need to hurry over this morning. I recognize I have way too much. I mentioned the Jewish people will be regathered. The state of Israel will be established. The Jews will once again reoccupy the city of Jerusalem. Where are we at today? They're reoccupying the city of Jerusalem. What did Trump do? He moved the U.S. ambassador right into the city of Jerusalem. I believe fulfillment of Scripture. The land of Israel will be reclaimed from its desolation, becoming once again a land of agriculture abundance, fulfillment in the 20th century, and continuing. Hebrew language was revived, and all the nations of the world will come together, according to Zechariah 12, 1-3, against Israel over the issue of the control of Jerusalem. There was a time, I think it was during Hitler's time, when Jewish businesses were set on fire. And fire companies came out and sprayed water on the neighboring properties rather than on the fire itself. Truly, Israel's return as a nation was a direct fulfillment of the prophecy in the Old Testament. 1900 years later, a miracle proof of the positive that the Bible is the Word of God, because every prophecy that has been fulfilled to the detail and has been a literal fulfillment. And that's the reason I believe that it will continue to be a literal fulfillment. That the Bible is the Word of God and the prophecies in it have come true and will come true. My dear friends, this morning, may I clarify that is yet future, none of us have it all figured out. But God does. God does. So why is God giving us all these signs? To let us know that Jesus is soon coming. And that's what I want to emphasize this morning. The key lies in, why is he returning? Jesus is returning to bring his children home. And I believe the next great event for the church is the rapture of the church that the Thessalonians talk about. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 or chapter 5. I forget the chapter that it is. And I just want to read that to you. To rivet in our minds how literal that will be. First Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I believe that's literal. There's someday our feet are going to leave this old earth. Yes, in the future yet. I don't think I'm going to have time to get into all of that this morning, but I believe the Lord will yet, when he comes back to earth to set up his kingdom, he will yet plant his feet on Mount Olive again. As Lord of Lords and King of Kings, to end all rebellion. May God help us to be ready. God is merciful and he's loving. And God is bringing all these disasters upon us today to warn us that he's soon coming, and that we might warn the world that he is coming. But maybe be ready for that time. The Bible clearly teaches that God never pours his wrath without warning, and he is warning. And God will never pour out his wrath, the Bible is clear, upon his children. And that is why I believe the rapture will take place before the 7 years of tribulation, or during mid-tribulation. Because the mid-tribulation, when God's wrath is poured out, God's people will not be here, because God has promised that he will not pour out his wrath upon his children. That is why he's provided so many signs. There are future prophecies that relate to Israel, and I'm not going to even get started into that this morning. But my question to you is, are you ready for the Lord's return? Are you ready for Jesus coming back? Whether you're in Bangladesh, whether you're in Russia, I have a lot of friends in Russia that are there proclaiming the name of Christ. Are you okay if you go to Bangladesh and because of political reasons you can't come home? Are you okay if you go to Russia, wherever you go, and you can't get back to the United States? Let me tell you something. No matter where you are in this world, the flight is the same distance from the earth to heaven as it is wherever you are. Where do you stand this morning? Are you under God's wrath because you haven't accepted his free gift of salvation? Are you under God's grace because you have? Will you be one of those who are raptured at the time of the rapture? Are you one of those that are ready for that time? Are you so tied up in material things that you can't let go? If you're tied up with the world system, you're going to stay with the world system. You're going to remain with the world system. You're going to come under the wrath of God. And I don't believe in a second chance either. The Bible doesn't teach that. Can you truly say this morning that you are ready for the Lord's return? If you aren't, you have a decision to make. Whether you want to be left here to come under the wrath of God, which will be more terrible than anything you've ever seen. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. The good news, believe in Jesus, God's Son, and have everlasting life. This morning, dear friends, make your calling and election sure. We keep talking about the return of the Lord. We keep talking about the rapture taking place. Dear friends, this morning, it's going to be reality. If we believe the Bible, if we know anything about prophecy or what is happening right around us, it's one thing. Brothers and sisters, this morning, can we accept the prophecies that have been literally fulfilled? What is yet in the future? I believe God has revealed a lot to us, but he hasn't revealed everything to us. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when he's going to come. Are you watching for the Lord's return? And do you recognize, do you get awake in the morning and realize the reality that God might come today? Jesus might come today. That trumpet might sound. And it might sound today. I say to you this morning, I say to everyone, watch for the Lord's return. When we can go home to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because there are yet 13 prophecies yet to be fulfilled as it relates to the nation of Israel. And I believe this morning that no matter where we stand on prophetic issues, I leave no room to belittle one another because of what we believe. I have plenty of good friends who are in the ministry. I have a brother who's in the ministry in the Eastern Church who is an all-millennial and has a college degree. I love the brother. And we respect each other. This morning, I realized that I'm talking to a group where there's two views. And the Mennonite Church has agreed to accept that. And brothers and sisters, we need to accept each other for that.
And we should not be slamming each other for it. May God help us as brothers and sisters in the Lord to be looking toward the skies, because Jesus is coming and it might be soon, shall we pray.
Lord Jesus, we come before you with trembling hearts. We know, Lord, there's been a lot said in just a few moments, a lot more that should have been more clearly said. But I trust, dear God, that you will take what has been said and you will feed your people to make their calling and election sure. That, dear Lord, we might yet win many souls unto you. Should there be any here in the sound of my voice that are not ready to meet you and need you as their personal Savior, they might make that choice before they leave today. Because Jesus, we believe that you are soon coming for your bride, the church, to be taken home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Dear God, help us to make our calling and election sure and to sound the message to the world and not be so concerned about these material things, not be so much concerned about the security of our wealth. Dear God, help us, is what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.